Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the premier radio networks, including 184 of the best stations in the U.S., on Saturday, June 30th, last day of June 2012. This is episode 887. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter the promo code TECHGUY. Well, a good day to you. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. This is the show where we talk tech. Computers, of course. Although what a computer is today is a little different than what a computer was in yesteryear. This ain't your grandfather's computer. Did your grandfather ever have a computer? Right now. No, I mean, most of the computing power most of us have these days is in our pocket, in our smartphone. I've got a quad-core, this is a little over the top, 1.4 gigahertz quad-core processor in my pocket. And a 1280 by 720p screen. Wow. In my pocket. We also talk about home theater. In fact, our home theater guy, Scott Wilkinson, joins us at 33 past the hour. We also talk about photography. Anything, you know, with a chip in it. Anything technical, digital. You know what I'm saying. I don't have to define that, do I? You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. So this is, I guess there's something about the summertime. Something about June. Big month of June. Apple, Microsoft, and now Google all had big product announcements this month. We talked about Apple's announcement, the Retina display laptop, the updated hardware, the iOS 6, the new OS 10 Mountain Lion due out next month, July. We talked about Microsoft Surface, interesting product, not known when it'll be available or for how much. In fact, we don't know much about that at all, just that they're doing it. Tablet and a kind of tablet-like PC. First hardware ever made by Microsoft. PC hardware, anyway. And then this week, Google had its big developer conference, Google I.O., and there was some speculation when Microsoft announced its tablet that the reason they were doing that is because Google was going to announce its tablet, and sure, it did. Lo and behold, Google announced on Wednesday a number of pieces of hardware. We can go through it all, actually. Boy, I tell you. Apple and Google both, actually, when Microsoft does this too, this is a very common thing for these platform companies to do. A platform is a modern technology term that is really kind of important. You think of it as a computing platform. In Wikipedia, they say it's a hardware architecture and a software framework that allows software, application software, to run. It's a hardware base, maybe an operating system. Certainly nowadays, the things are in the web, on the web, in the cloud, that it could doesn't, you know, it's hardware, but you don't really need to know about the hardware. So it's a base upon which others can develop software. That's really what it is, isn't it? That's a platform. And if you have a platform, well, one of the most important things you do is reach out to developers, the people who write the programs that go on your platform. And you really see this in the cell phone space, that it's what's much most important when you're selling smartphones is how many apps, what kinds of apps, if the app people want is on there. And if you don't have a good number of apps, you're going to have a hard time succeeding. Or, as in the case of BlackBerry, if your apps aren't very high quality, you're going to have a hard time succeeding. So really, these events, Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, Microsoft Surface announcement, and Google's I.O. conference, were all aimed at really primarily at developers saying, please, look how wonderful our platform is. And the underlying subtext is, and people will be buying lots of them. So you should be writing software because it's a chance for you to make money. We're making a business so that you, for you, is what they're saying. And really now the question is whether consumers will buy it and whether developers will buy it. And both have to buy it in equal measure. The developers look out there at us and say, are they gonna buy that? Is there an opportunity to be money to be made there? Because they're not going to devote their limited resources to making software for something they can't make money on, unless they just do it for fun. But that's not the vast majority of developers. So Google came out with and invited 6,000 developers signed up for Google I.O. This is a hot platform, Android, right now. 6,000 sold out in, I think, a half an hour. And one of the reasons this happens is because developers know from past history that Google gives you stuff. In this case, they gave you stuff worth more than the ticket. The swag pile for Google developers this week was a Google Galaxy Nexus phone. I'm not sure how much. That's probably say a $600 or $700 phone. So we'll say Google Galaxy Nexus $700 phone. I need a cash register effect for this. I have to ring a cash register because this is going to add up. In fact, I need a calculator too. Let me pull this sound effect up here. Got to have the sound effect. Can't really do it without the sound effect. Let's see. Does this sound like a cash register? Yeah. So, thank you. Once was enough. All right, three times. We'll stop there. So let's see. I'm adding it up. Say $700 because it's easier for the math. They also got a Galaxy Nexus 7. This is a new tablet that Google announced. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Very, very compelling, I think. Now, the amazing, compelling thing about this is only $200. That's not a huge amount of money for a tablet. Competes with the Amazon Fire, right? $200. All right, we're going to put that. Then they gave them something really weird. They gave them something that Google's just introduced called the Q. It's a multimedia device for $300. Oh, that's a little pricey. All right. So we're up to $1,200. Then the next day they gave them a Google Chromebox. I don't know. What's that worth? $300? Something like that? Cash register, please. Thank you. So this is not a big budget show. I just want you to understand. Although if I got all this stuff, it might be. Was that everything they got? So the grand total of products given to the developers was $1,500 worth of stuff, free stuff. Now, of course, the idea is that they'll develop software on all this. They're all platforms, right? Two Android platforms, something that needs Android but is whatever. I don't know what the Q is, and then a Chromebox. $330. Okay. So $1,530. Thank you, chat room, for the correction. It's not a Galaxy Nexus 7. It's a Nexus 7. I'm going to write this down so I get it right. So it's the Galaxy Nexus phone. The Nexus, no wonder I'm confused, 7 tablet. The Q, that's easy to remember, just the letter Q. And then a Chromebox, which is really a computer running the Chrome OS. So two different platforms. They're the Android platform running their new Jelly Bean operating system. The Galaxy Nexus we've seen, I've talked about before. It's not the best Google phone out there. It is a Google experience in the sense that they make these phones so that nobody else touches them, so that Samsung or HTC or any of the other manufacturers can modify them. So it's the most recent Google experience phone, but not the best. I certainly like the HTC One or the Galaxy S3 better. Those are better phones. The Nexus 7 is pretty nice. I would say it is the best tablet at that price by far. Beats the Amazon Fire like crazy. The Kindle Fire was same price, but not nearly the capability. In this Nexus 7 tablet, 1280 by 800, so it's an HD display, and it looks good. It's an IPS display. A little dim, and at least the one that I have. A little dim, but very nice color. It's not an OLED. You know, we're kind of used to those OLEDs from Samsung. It's not one of those. It was made by Asus. It's an IPS LCD, which is a very nice, very high-quality LCD screen. You know, good color, but not great brightness. However, the really interesting thing in there is the Tegra 3 system on a chip. This thing has quad-core processors, I think running at 1.3 gigahertz, the Nexus 7 we're talking about. This thing has a very powerful graphics processing unit, the Tegra 3 from NVIDIA. This is a, and I have to tell you, you feel it too. It is snappy, which the Fire is not. 8 gigabytes for $200, 16 gigabytes for $250. No upgradability though. Wi-Fi, not 3G, but nice. I like it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Talk more about it. Thank you. That's a much better one. I had the cheesiest. You know, I did this yesterday. It was so stupid. I changed my Finder preferences not to show external drives. And of course, all my sound effects are on an external disk.
Summer can be the busiest time of the year. You've got to juggle vacation schedules.
Done this and this, I could have had my
cash register. So who's going to be there to make sure your computers are backed up? Well, Carbonite, of course. Carbonite. With Carbonite, your computer files will be backed up automatically, continuously, all year long. You can focus on growing your business while Carbonite backs up your computer files. Plus, with Carbonite, you and your staff can access
all the
files on a smartphone or iPad with the free Carbonite.
Yeah, the Amazon data center going.
That's a big.
But there's so many good stories today, so let me put that one in. Amazon.
Your home office or your small business, you need a better.
Because Instagram went down.
You need the back.
Netflix went down.
It's
And Pinterest went down.
Starts at just $59.
I think Spotify went down too.
For the next 2 weeks, right now at Carbonite.com.
No, oh yeah, the Nexus ban. I don't know what that means, but
when you decide to buy,
Premier did the research. I can't afford this stuff.
ITE.com. Remember to use Leo to get
that. It's probably highly confidential. So I was going
to
show you the graph, but I won't.
The ESET has now developed
there it is. See,
with that great Mac interface, but the powerful.
You know, this it's interesting because our ad agency wants us to do research on the podcast, which would be very much like this.
Not to mention Microsoft.
And I said, my I'm in favor of doing research by trying shows and seeing if they work. But this is useful, but it's not anything I didn't know.
Right?
Oh yeah, the Google. I forgot to mention the Google Compute Engine.
That's why ESET Cybersecurity for the Mac introduces a brand new educational component alongside.
Yeah, I'm figuring this costs them something like that.
Because it's ESET, it's protection you won't.
The phone's only $350.
You try it free for
30 days. Well, crud. I don't want it then.
For a free test drive. And don't forget to like ESET USA on Facebook.
$1,180. Okay.
ESET USA to your Google Plus circle.
Thank you.
Stay looped in on their contest.
I was giving the phone more value. The only $350. Is that true online? Is it only $350?
For the Macintosh.
In the Play Store. That's what's interesting. Is Google's selling all this stuff online now. Shop. Devices. I want some devices. Shop now with Jelly Bean. $350. Well, that's a lot less. What do you get for $350? Wow, because I paid $650 for it when it came out. But it's really $350 is a more reasonable price. I don't like it. It's not a very good screen. Now, this, I think, is spectacular. I immediately ordered one of these. 7-inch display, backlit IPS, scratch-resistant, Corning glass, 1.2-megapixel front-facing camera. 8 gigabytes internal, 1 gigabyte RAM, micro USB, 8-hour battery, 4.1 Android, quad-core Tegra processor. I got the 6. Oh, what did they? I'm sure that they gave the 8 gigabyte out, but I don't know. Long story. I got a pass to Google I/O but then I realized, I can't go to Google I/O. I love going; it's really fun, but I can't go because I went last year. But we have to do coverage, so I have to be here because we can't cover it from there because you're in the conference. So I didn't go, and I gave my pass to Kevin Marks. So Gina Trapani, we got passes for Jeff Jarvis, Gina Trapani, and me, and Eileen Rivera, and Jason Howell. I couldn't go. Jeff couldn't go. Gina went, and Kevin went in my place, and he got all the stuff. I said, I'll just keep it. So I didn't get any of this stuff. Yeah, LTE versions are not quad core.
Today I feel like just eating jelly beans. So I got us a hotel room with two beds. My girlfriend keeps blowing up my phone. I'm sorry, we decide sometime alone. Because today it's only me and my jelly beans.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Jelly Bean. So Android operating systems are named after desserts. You probably noticed this by now. And it's alphabetic. So Cupcake was the first one I remember. I'm sure there was an A and a B, but Cupcake was the first one that I think the public could buy. Then there was Donut. Then there was Eclair. Then there was Froyo. That's F. Then G was what? Gingerbread, right? To 2.3. That's the one a lot of you still are using. After Gingerbread was Honeycomb, which was tablet only and was terrible. Even Google said, this is terrible. We're embarrassed. Please don't look. Pay no attention. Then after they did Honeycomb, they finally updated that to Ice Cream Sandwich, which is pretty good. Ice Cream Sandwich is on a tiny, tiny fraction of phones, though, because most carriers do not update the phones. And now the newest is J, Jelly Bean. It's 4.1, Android 4.1. Key Lime Pie is the next version. I think it is Key Lime Pie, actually. Somebody's saying they were speculating. No, I believe Google has actually, or the rumor was it will be Key Lime Pie for K. Key Lime Pie. So, Google really making a great, I think a very strong entry into the tablet marketplace. Remember Steve Jobs said, oh, nobody wants a 7-inch tablet. He said this in public. He said, it's half the screen real estate of our iPad. We're not going to make one. We'll never make one because nobody wants one. Well, guess what? I think people do want one. And this will be the test. There hasn't been a great... I had the Galaxy Tab 7, and I liked it. Because it's, you could put it a little bit, kind of put it in your pocket or purse easier. It's not so big. It's a little smaller, and yet it's big enough to look good. It's an HD display. Some movies look good on it. Google's shipping this Nexus 7 with the Transformers movie, so you can see for yourself, and it looks really good. This is going to be a good size, I think, for people who don't want to spend $500 on an iPad. Less than half that, they can get a fairly comparable piece of hardware they can give the kids. Google even said they're not making any money on it. I believe that. I think that's probably close to their cost, if not a little over their cost, or under their cost, right? So... I think this is a good deal. You cannot add memory to it, though, so if you... but remember that most of the content you're looking on here is not going to be stored on the device. Movies, music, and television shows will be streamed to it. They also announced this Q, which is a ball with LED, 29 LEDs around it, and the idea is it doesn't do anything by itself. You hook it up to your TV and your stereo. It has an amp in it, but only 25 watts, so you hook it up to your TV and your stereo. And then you can stream music from Google Play or TV shows and movies from Google Play. And if somebody comes over, you have to have... Now, this is the biggest problem. It doesn't work unless you have a Android device running Jelly Bean, which nobody has, except those 6,000 developers. And then if you have that, you can come over and you can hijack the music and say, I want to play my music, which seems like a dumb idea. I guess, is this what the kids are doing? Is they're doing like little turntable parties where you go, no, this. All I remember is when I drove carpool for my teenagers, my daughter was really bad. Because I was driving, so she got to control the radio, the iPod, right? She'd listen to a song for 10 seconds and change it every 10 seconds. You do not want, and I remember when I first got iPods and we'd throw parties and I'd say, hey, I'll do the music. It was even before the iPod. I think I was using Winamp. I remember this in the New Year's Eve 2000. We were partying like it was 1999. I made a playlist, a great playlist, dance music, 8 hours of dance music. Put it on a computer because there was no portable device in 1999 that could store 8 hours of music. So I put it on a computer, lugged my desktop. I didn't even have it on a laptop. I lugged my desktop and a projector because I wanted to display the visualizations on the wall. I did. Of the music as we were listening to the music. And I remember the problem, I immediately saw this, and this happens, by the way, all the time. People come over and they don't like the song, they change it. You've crafted this playlist, and they change it. There's reasons why you want one person in charge, that's all I'm saying. This Q is if it were $100, maybe it's not, it's $299, it's $300, it's crazy. Nobody's going to buy that. No one is going to buy that. Ah, the Galaxy S2 apparently is pushing Ice Cream Sandwich now, which is good. That's good on AT&T. If you can, it's good to get these upgrades. I think they do make a difference. All right, let's go to the phones. The phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. We have a website, techguylabs.com. This is the new one's in beta. I think this is the last week or two for the old site. So behold, my people, look upon it and in awe and wonder at the horribleness of it. It looks like it was designed in 1998, which it probably was. I think that's probably when I did it. Anyway, it's there. But it's there for only a few more weeks. The new site's coming. TechGuyLabs.com. Nevertheless, it's functional. They got a link to the chat room there. Always fun to go in the chat room. Like, lots of geeks in there and having fun. And there's also a link to the phone number and, you know, all the other stuff you need. TechGuyLabs.com. James DeRuvo's writing everything down as I say it. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Peter's on the line. Hey, Peter. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Pleasure as always.
Welcome.
I want to know if maybe you or the wonderful chat room could recommend a great range extender.
For your Wi-Fi?
Yes, for the house.
And what kind of base station do you have?
I went against your recommendation in not getting the AC1300 router from Buffalo.
I actually don't recommend that, so it's good you did, because it's too early.
No, I purchased it.
Oh, you did do it? Oh, well, then the only one you can get, the only one you should get is the bridge that they make. Actually, you're kind of – okay, so here's the deal on range-extending Wi-Fi. I'll give you the general answer, and then you're kind of out of luck. The technology is called – for extending Wi-Fi is called WDS, Wireless Distribution System, I think is what it stands for. What WDS is a very loose spec that says if you have a base station, a Wi-Fi access point, you can get a – what you called a Wi-Fi extender, which really acts as a bridge. All it does is receive and send signals to the base station and then pass them on to a more distant station. So Wi-Fi goes about 150 feet, maybe more, depending on your environment. You put it somewhere where it can still get a good signal from the base station, and now that, in effect, becomes the base station to a more distant computer. But it's a loose, as I said, spec, which means you got to get the one that works with your base unit. And in general, that's the one made by the same manufacturer. You can try, Peter, Netgear or D-Link or Linksys. They all make them. But there's no guarantee it'll work with the Buffalo. Actually, you know what I would do? Buffalo uses this. The problem is the AC1300 is a new 802.11. It's 802.11 AC. It means the new chipset. I don't even know if WDS has been defined for AC. I'm of the opinion that you're probably out of luck, but you could try. Just make sure you can return them if they don't work. Any Wi-Fi extender. And as soon as Buffalo makes one for AC, that's going to be the one you're wanting. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott, coming up. That's cool. Wonder if I'll get Jelly Bean on my Galaxy S3. That would be cooler still. Hey, let me talk about ShareFile real quick before we get back to the calls. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, coming up. I use ShareFile all the time now. I used another product. So it's not unusual in business that you need to get files from one point to another. And most of the time, what do? You attach them to an email. And you've heard me scream and yell, don't use email attachments. And really, in the past, people have said, well, what do I do instead? And I haven't had a great answer. I mean, I've said things like, upload it. If it's a picture, upload it to a picture site and then share the link. But for business, there really hasn't been a good solution until ShareFile. Citrix just acquired them, and I just am a huge fan. In fact, I now have a special, I'm going to go to it right now, ShareFile page they created, you can create it too, with your company's logo and everything, so it's very business-like. And these are the files I've got there. It actually does a sync from my desktop, so there are various ways you can set it up. I set up a ShareFile folder, I'll show you, it's right here, for stuff that I share with Premiere, and so that they can get it, I just sync it up. Same thing with some of the radio stations. When I do recordings of commercials, for instance, I'll put them there and share them. And then I know the nice thing is then I just send them a note. I'll show you how it works. I'll go back to my share file page here. So let's say I just recorded the commercials for Premiere. They're stored in here in Current. I check that box and I say send. Now you could do this in Outlook with a plugin. Your two choices. This will send an email directly, but I'm going to say give me a link. Then look at these choices. Email me when the item has been downloaded. Require recipients to enter name and email before downloading. These are both options. You could say how long the download lasts. Forever? A day? A week? I usually say a week because I don't want them to download the spots later, right, by accident. How many downloads per user? I say unlimited, but you might say, oh, they can only download it once. So these are my default settings. And then I get a link. You can, you want to copy this and use it, go ahead. Freeze the frame. I'll just paste it in here. And you can see how it looks. It's really cool. It's very, so this is the link they get. They do not need to make, and this is very important, a ShareFile account. They get a branded page with a download link right there. Now notice it's a folder, not just a file. So they can, when they download that, they're going to download the entire folder. Very easy. Or you can have individual files. And now I'm going to get an email saying, I downloaded it. Scott just popped in. I love this. ShareFile. Now, here's the deal. Get 30 days free so you can try it at your business. Use the offer code TechGuy. Go to ShareFile.com. Let me put it up right here. ShareFile.com. See the radio? Heard us on the radio? Podcaster radio. It's the same. Click here. Name or offer code. The offer code is TechGuy. Okay? And then you don't have to, but you can choose your business. That's kind of nice because they have customized, if you're in the insurance business, they're completely compliant with all standards and requirements. They're HIPAA compliant. It's secure. You have multi-level access control, full access to your files in the cloud. Great 24/7 support and on and on and on. 30 days free at ShareFile.com. Use the offer code TechGuy. Stop using those other guys. I did, and it's so much better. It's how I get all my ads over to the radio stations and the promos. And, local stations like to have, hi, it's Leah LaPorte for WQQQ in beautiful Muncie. And then, so I send those to them that way, too. And then I know whether they got it or not. It's just really nice. All right, here we go. Enough of that.
Dad, who is this pink you're talking about?
Hello. I'm coming up, so you better. Oh, it's a pink mashup.
Oh, that was 10 seconds.
All right, I don't get the pink here. I think Kyle Benham, my musical director, is a frustrated DJ. That was the Hansons? All right. Hope you're feeling in the pink. I guess we could call this the 4th of July weekend, right? Michael J. Fox was Alex P. Keaton. When I met you, I said my name is Rich. You look like a girl from Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't know where the heck he gets this stuff. Leah LaPorte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo on the line right now with us. Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru and online editor of Home Theater Magazine. Hey, happy 4th of July weekend, I guess.
Happy 4th of July weekend,
I guess,
Leo.
Some people would take the next 4 days off.
Unfortunately, that does seem to be the case.
Really?
I tried to get as much done as I could last week, but it was already starting to get difficult to get a hold of people yesterday afternoon.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. So, and by the way, I've just been told, I was talking about, I bet you did this in the early days of MP3s. I brought a PC in to the 1999-2000 New Year's Eve party to play the music for the party. And I've just received a text, I'm sorry, I was distracted, saying, can you do it again on the 4th of July? So every year, but this time, I don't need to bring a computer at all. In fact,
no.
I have a Spotify 4th of July playlist from last year. I'll just play it again.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. As you said at the beginning of the show, we're now all carrying, quad-core computers in our pockets.
It really is.
I just I took a yoga class last night, and the teacher was just doing her yogi DJ thing.
Right.
From her phone.
Right. It really is. It's a brave new world. Music is everywhere, and now there's Spotify, there's Moog, there's RDO, there's Rhapsody, there's
Pandora.
iTunes, there's Google Music, there's Amazon Music, Pandora. I have a new one I really like called Songza.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that
one. Well, just started. It's currently free, S-O-N-G-Z-A. It's very much like Pandora. It makes a music station, but instead of based on artists, which is how Pandora works, Songza does it on by your mood.
Ah.
So,
and how does it
well, you tell it. You tell it. And so they got a lot of playlists. I was just listening to hit songs from 80s movies. I'm sure that'll make Kyle very happy.
Yes.
So this is and it works on my Sonos system, which I really like a lot.
Is great.
What do you use? You know, this would be a good topic for today, is getting music to all the rooms in your house. This is did you see the Google Cue that was kind of the idea of the Cue?
I did. I think it's officially called the Nexus Cue, is it not?
Who cares? Nobody's going to
buy it. Who cares? Yeah, it's a big, it's a spherical thing. It's weird.
$300 useless ball.
Yeah, right.
Because you have to have, in order to use this, an Android phone or tablet running their newest version, Jelly Bean, which leaves most people out.
Right, at least for a while.
Only 6,000 people will be able to use it, those who got it for free with their tablet. And the rest of them. But the idea, this is very much like the Sonos. In fact, I thought it was designed to be a Sonos killer, is you could put a cube in each room attached to speakers, and you can control it, right? Or cue. It's not a cube.
Oh, a cube.
It's not a cube. I said it's a spherical cue. Don't worry. You don't have to memorize this, folks. I just don't see this going anywhere at all. Hey, one good thing, and one thing I praise them for, Made in America. This is very unusual, and they're making a big point out of it, because very few consumer electronics, if any, are made in America anymore.
Right. It's all made in China, although I just heard a news report that said that Chinese wages are going up exponentially, and it's soon not going to be a big advantage to make stuff over there.
Good. Maybe they'll bring some manufacturing back home.
I hope so. I really do. That, I think, is very important, and I applaud Google for making a point of that and, in fact, making this thing in the USA. I only hope that it's successful, which, I tend to doubt.
Now, I have to correct myself. I've been saying it requires jelly beans. Somebody told me that. It's not true. I'm looking on the page, and if you have an Android 2.3 phone or later, Gingerbread or later, and access to Google Play, you'll be fine. It only uses Wi-Fi. You have to have Wi-Fi for it. And then, it's interesting. Look what the plugs are in the back. We talked about this. They're banana plugs. They're not a standard speaker connection.
It's an amplified output?
Yeah, 25 watts. Why are you laughing, Scott?
Well, you know.
$300 25-watt amplifier. That seems like a good deal.
Okay, well, yeah, what's its distortion?
What are you asking them that for? That's not for you to know.
I guess not. So I guess you put one of these in each room.
Yeah.
And you connect a couple of small speakers to it.
They say plug it into your best speakers and best screen.
Does it have an HDMI output?
It has a mini HDMI. So you're going to have to, and it doesn't come with any cables. You're going to have to buy banana plugs, because those are non-standard in the U.S. anyway for speaker connections.
Definitely.
And you're going to, now it has Toslink, so you could use an optical cable. It has Ethernet. Or I believe Wi-Fi, and then it has HDMI, but it looks like a mini USB, so you're going to have to get that special mini HDMI adapter.
Yeah. I don't know. The banana plug thing, I didn't know about that. That's pretty weird. I mean, banana plugs are not unheard of. They're more common in Europe.
I use them. I use them, and I love them.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
I
because
do
what
but it, you have to kind of go and get them special.
Yeah, I ordered them from Monoprice, gold plated, and they weren't that expensive. But what happens is you get regular speaker wire. Normally, you have a terminal post that you put the speaker wire either into a hole. That's the modern way of doing it, or around a terminal and screw it down. So the banana plug. Now you can help me with this, Scott.
Sure.
So I got banana plugs, and then there's a hole in the bottom that you stick the normal speaker wire into, and then you screw it down.
Right.
And then the banana plug goes into, if you have terminal posts that support banana plugs, goes into the, and so it's very easy to connect and reconnect. But my wires keep falling out. Is there some way to am I supposed to solder them in?
Well, then unless you can really crank down that set screw, that screw that you screw down.
I do, but it doesn't do anything.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I screw them in as hard as I can, but What do you do? You smush the copper wire? What do you do?
Well, it depends on the actual plug, but yeah, you what I do is I take the bare wire that's coming off the speaker plug, and I twist it so that it forms kind of a spiral, but it's twisted together to make sort of a semi-solid, little piece of wire.
Right.
And generally, rather than just leaving all these little tiny strands kind of waving in the wind, if you twist them together, that makes them more solid. That makes them more a better connection.
And you slide it in the back of the plug.
Yep.
And then you screw it in.
Yep.
And then it falls right out.
Well,
so you have to smush it, I guess, and have it. So you can't fold it over because it blocks the threads.
Right. Exactly. Well, you might have gotten not the best. I see now you are seeing it.
Oh, these are nice banana plugs from. They're only $1.98 at monoprice.com. Are those not good? They look good. They're gold.
They look good to me. Yeah, gold plated is fine. It doesn't really make
that much
difference.
I'm using 16-gauge wire, which is fairly thick, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, well.
It should work. The fact that it doesn't,
it's
I don't
all right.
know. If they weren't very expensive, you might try a different type. Those kind that you're talking about, you put the wire through, and then you have to screw it down, and it screws in the same direction as the wire.
Right.
The ones I typically use have a set screw that comes in at right angles.
Ah, that's what's missing. I don't have any way to kind of tighten it in that way.
And that really tightens it down very well.
Or I'll just put epoxy on it.
Well, that. Except that'll then insulate.
Yeah, oh, never mind. So get ready, because the entire world is going to be asking you how to do banana plugs. No, because nobody's going to buy this. That's why.
That's why. It's really not going to be that important.
It's history. This thing is history. It's very rare I'll see a product that's dead on arrival, and it was so obvious to me. Maybe I'm wrong that this just has no future.
No, but, if it's not a Sonos killer, but the Sonos is a fabulous
device.
Let's
talk about that. Do you use a Sonos? What do you use to distribute music through your home?
Well, believe it or not, I'm a bit behind the times on that. I don't have a whole house distribution system.
Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru. We'll talk more, and I'll tell you about his podcast coming up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll keep talking for the benefit of the live streamers.
Sure.
So I bought, and I'm very happy with it. In fact, I couldn't be happier. Sonos Connect. Well, I've always had Sonos, right?
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have a stereo before, so I was using the Sonos. So I have a number of the Sonos Play 5s, which are complete unit.
Players.
It's a Wi-Fi. By the way, it uses its own network. It's a mesh network, not Wi-Fi.
Right.
So I have these speakers. I have about 5 or 6 of them. I just keep buying them. We have about 5 or 6 in the studio. They're great. But and so these, you either connect via Wi-Fi or you connect via Ethernet. But with this, then, you need the Sonos, not dock, I guess it's called the bridge. I have a dock, too, that lets you put your iPhone onto it, which is very nice, too. Then there's the Sonos, I guess this is what I bought for the stereo. So this is all very expensive. The speakers are $500 or $600.
Sonos is not cheap.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive system,
Connect,
but it works very well.
This is what I got for my stereo. So it has optical out the back, and I connect that to my Onkyo receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Ethernet plugged into this. And so I control this with any of my devices, like my iPhone, my iPad. You can put that there. That's fine. I will show it. And then it's so great. I have music throughout my apartment. And by the way, now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I put the surround speakers up. Now their music's going through them too. Is that?
Well, you've got your receiver set to expand stereo out to 5.1. You can defeat that pretty easily.
Yes, now I remember. But I don't mind.
No.
Is it bad?
I kind of like it. I don't
think
it's
bad. No, it fills the room. It's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I have a sub. Sonos is now making a sub. This is it. And John liked it a lot. It's funny because, I have frontward ported and downward ported subs. This one's inward ported. It has a little, the speakers are right here in the slot.
Unfortunately, I was unable to go. I see the slot there. Oh, yeah.
See, the speakers are right in here.
How weird. And the speakers are firing into that slot?
Yeah. Isn't that odd?
That's really interesting.
And
I had
ported
the opportunity to go.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I was invited to go see and hear the new sub, and unfortunately, I had to cancel at the last minute. My mom's having some medical problems.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, you get to be 87.
So, John, what you said this sounds pretty good.
The subsonic, you feel it.
It's $700. It's very. See, everything they do is very expensive.
It's true. But does John like the sound?
He likes the sound, and he knows his. He says you feel it in your guts.
Okay. How big is the driver? Does he know?
Well, I'm looking at the speaker. It's not. It's weird. It's.
It's not that big. It doesn't look to me.
They're two speakers, which I guess
maybe
they resonate.
6 or 8 inch.
Oh, it's really two force-canceling speakers positioned face-to-face.
Are they both active?
Yeah.
They're both amplified.
They're both active, right, John? Yeah. And what's weird is they're not round. They're like rounded rectangles.
They're oval.
Yeah. You can see it inside here.
Yeah, yeah, I can sort of see it. Wow, that is very strange.
I haven't listened to them. I have to take them home and try them.
I hope to get one. I'm going to get one and try it because...
I'm very happy with... I bought an Orb sub that I've been using, and it's more than enough because I don't want to bother my neighbors. But
right.
So this is a technology called a Voss waveform.
Don't know that.
It's just too. I think it's too expensive. But I'll have to listen to it. I mean, if it the Sonos system is great because of the wireless capability, right? That's what really makes this spectacular.
And the fact that they're using the mesh
it's
network.
It's mesh.
Which,
it's not Wi-Fi, so it doesn't...
Right.
It's
so
very
it's higher,
reliable.
Higher fidelity, and it doesn't get interfered with by Wi-Fi.
Extremely... So you need a bridge connected to your router, and then you can buy these Play 5s or Play 3s.
Right.
Or use the Kinect, which is what I do, and that connects to my
and
stereo.
That connects to your stereo. Yeah. Right.
Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're going to go back to the phones in just a minute, but first I wanted to ask Scott... Your home theater geek show is coming up on... You're going to do one Monday, even though it's 4th of July?
I am. It's the new time, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, from my brand new podcast studio. I've moved my studio back home.
Because we get such great Skype connection with you here. You're at home now.
Yes.
On Skype, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't he sound good? But for some reason at work where you had more bandwidth, they were doing bandwidth shaping and it was killing.
Yes.
The sound was all right, but the video was terrible.
The video was terrible. So I've moved back home. I've got a new set in my home recording studio, actually, where I will be podcasting from. And eventually I'm working on getting the music part of it back up, too, so that eventually I'll be able to do some music from there.
Do broadcast performances?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be great.
That is my plan.
Oh, Sack Butt Tonight. It's a brand new show. This week in Sack Butt.
This week in Sack Butt. And I've got a new technology I'm going to tell you about.
By the way, folks, I better explain this. That is not a comment on his trousers. That is, in fact, a medieval instrument, a reed instrument that Scott plays. It's reed, right?
Brass, actually.
It's brass. Okay, yeah, you don't do reeds.
I do a little bit, but not much. No, mostly I do brass. And the sackbut is the medieval and Renaissance trombone.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, the trombone is the least changed instrument over the last 500 years.
Because it's perfect.
Because it's perfect. It was perfect the day they invented it.
So who's going to be on Home Theater Geeks this week?
Well, actually, this week, it's just me in the chat room.
Oh, I love it when you do that. So you're going to answer questions.
I'm just going to answer questions. I'm going to give people a little tour of my new studio. And I'm going to answer questions. Last week, we had a bunch of questions in the chat room about HDMI cables, but that wasn't our topic, so I didn't bring it up because that wasn't what we were talking about last week. So this week, HDMI cables and whatever else you want to talk about, join in the chat room, and I'm open for anything and everything.
And his sack butt is also apparently... open for anything. Here's a picture. Wow. All right.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness.
There's a picture of his sack butt. I know you're listening on the radio and you're wondering what the heck, but see, Scott and I could see each other. So, hey, Scott, thanks so much. HomeTheater.com is his website. The Home Theater Geeks, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Monday, or at twit.tv/HTG for Home Theater Geeks. Thanks, Scott.
Bet.
Take care. Derek, Clayton, North Carolina, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Derek. Hello, Derek. Oh, wait a minute. I got to push the button. I have magic fingers, but they're not, they don't seem to be working right now. Can you pick them up? Because I can't.
Line three.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, sorry about that, Derek. Yeah, I hear you now. Sorry about that.
No problem. I've been a big fan since the ZDTV days. It's great to talk to you, Leo.
Well, thank you.
So what I'm trying to do, you kind of summarized it already. I've sort of a hobbyist and do some YouTube videos, and I've, you know, gained a list of around 1,000 or so, and I want to do a little giveaway, so I want to find a way to be able to download those subscribers, and I've not been able to find a way to do it. So I can put those in a randomizer.
I'm going to guess that YouTube does not let you do it because they don't want you to have their emails.
Yeah, well, it's not really their emails. It's just their username.
If you had the username, that would be enough for you?
Yeah, because I can see all their usernames when I go through my subscriber list, but there's about, you know, 20-some pages with a few on each page, and it just would take forever to copy them all that way. And I was hoping there'd be a way to just pull them all down. And
there is, and I have not used it, there is a product that claims to be able to do this, and it seems like reasonable. It's called Tube Toolbox. At TubeToolbox.com. And this is really important. YouTube does have a term of service that prohibits you from doing things that your subscribers might not like, but this will let you get the list of your subscribers.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I understand, and that's exactly what they're afraid of course, and why YouTube probably prohibits that. But this lets you apparently lets you do this, and they have a I'm looking at it right now. Give it a shot. Take a look.
Okay.
See if it'll do what you want. It seems like it will. And maybe in the chat room somebody has another solution. Now, as far as, and then so what you want to do is generate a text list of all your subscribers' names, right?
Right, then I can use randomizer.org to
exactly, mix it up and pick one at random. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking if there's other ways to do this. I would bet there are some very strict rules that YouTube has about this because they just don't, you know, they don't want you to spam them. So,
right.
Is there a way? This looks like the only way I can see that.
Okay,
I'm looking at Google Code where people are talking about this. Like, how could you do this? I bet you that there are some very limited ways that you can. See, give it a try. Would you let me know if that works?
I will, Leo. And yeah. Can I give my channel a shout out?
Yeah. What is your channel?
It's Big D Wiz, but I do oldschoolstereo.com is my website, but I use an old name that I signed back up in 2006, so I haven't changed it. But I test old audio equipment, old car stereo equipment.
That's cool. Thanks. Nobody's doing that. They're all testing the new stuff. Old school. So what is the market? Who wants to know about old school stereo stuff?
It's just a specialist market like anything else. There's a lot of people that grew up in the 80s and 90s that had the stuff that was made in the USA.
They remember their old Fosgate amp or something like that.
Right, the quality stuff where it's now all made in China, you know, and everybody says the quality has gone down. So
that's interesting. So I guess this is an analog to the regular stereo world where people like the old tube amps.
Exactly.
Yeah, these aren't tube amps, obviously, but...
No, not tube amps, but they're what we call old school. So,
what a neat idea! Big D Wiz, BIGD, the letter D, WIZ, just like it sounds. And this is fun. Do you buy this stuff on eBay? It looks like you do.
I do buy some on eBay, and I have people send me some of the gear. Then I test it. I've got some a test bench and some equipment. Where actually my most highest hit videos are the ones where I test these little cheap Chinese amplifiers that are like $10 you can get off eBay, and they say they're 500 watts, and as you can probably guess, they're nowhere close to that.
Chinese mini amp invasion. They claim 500 watts, but see, they don't, you know, nobody's checking up on them.
Well, I am.
thank you for doing that, Derek. That is really, really cool. That is really great. I hope this works. Let me know. Email me, leo@techguylabs.com, and let me know if YouTube toolbox works for you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
I believe both of these are the same, so I may not open both of the packages, but this is the LaPi. Ooh, this is a polished version. Look at that. Shiny. Blind in the camera. This is a Superbass 2.1 amplifier, and as you can see,
It has a subwoofer volume and a crossover, and it has bass, treble, and a volume and aux input. There's the analog input RCAs. There's the speaker outputs. Wow, there's a bunch. You know why? Because this is a 2.1 amp. This has got
40
watts times 2.
It looks nice.
68 times 1. Yeah, right. Can't wait to see what it actually does.
I think this is a very interesting niche, isn't it? What an interesting niche. No banana plugs there. Ah, let me look at how they say to connect those.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
I should have watched the video.
The Tech Guy will begin at 6 minutes past the hour.
Oh, here it
is. From Premier Radio Networks.
Yeah. I just have to be careful. They don't fall out, but any stress on them at all, they'll pop out. This is 6 minutes on how to use banana plugs. 2:45.
Hi there, and thank you for tuning in to Monopress.
Yeah, I think I did start watching this.
You are tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Snip the jack of the wire using side cutters. I did that.
From Premier
Radio.
That
you have your two conductors on the inside.
Close up, please. I don't want to see his hair. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I have wire strippers. I don't worry about that. Strip off a little bit of...
So you go ahead and take the banana.
This is what I want to see. Okay, stuff it in there.
Through the bottom.
Yep, I'm doing that. Yeah. I twist them before I do it, but all right.
Once you see the copper is exposed, you go ahead and kind of fan
it. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to fan it out.
Radio Network.
Okay. And then it will hold it down. All right.
Screwing it back in.
What I do is I kind of fan it out, but I must maybe I just need to more.
Go ahead and you repeat the steps.
Complete fanning out.
The other side.
I'll tell you, once you get the banana plugs on there, if your speakers support it, it's sure great because it's easy to move stuff around.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin.
Fan it out. But then if that was part of my problem, is it was going over the threads. Yeah, so I'll do the fanning out. It's really nice once you got it because you just snap them in. And it really is. The Galaxy S3, yes, noticeably faster than the Note. It's noticeably faster than anything I've ever used
in my
life. You're
tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Networks.
I've got speakers, comma. All I will need is a power outlet, period. No, I haven't gotten any cases, but you know, I haven't dropped it yet. I love this phone. It's a great phone.
You are tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Network.
Am I gonna get some root going on this? Probably not. The problem with a lot of the mods is they don't fully support the hardware, especially on newer phones. And frankly, all I really want to do is, and I did it, is put a launcher on there, and you get all the benefits of having a kind of custom ROM. Let's stop doing that. So this is Nova Launcher, which I really like. But look how fast this is. This is so fast. You can do this to go to an individual screen. Look how fast. And I got the fish swimming in the background, right?
This is Premier Channel 7.
Let's add a blank screen so we can play with
we'll
the fish.
They're beautiful. From Premier Radio Network.
So this is live. It's got a bubbler. This is constantly live in the background. Plenty of processor. Just gorgeous. The Nova settings are really complete. It's a very nice launcher, very reliable. I haven't had any trouble with it at all. Never crashed. In fact, this phone never crashes, which I can't say the same for many Android phones I've had, including the Note.
The tech guy. We'll begin at six minutes past the hour. This is a Flipboard. From Premier Radio Network.
It's just, you know, you get a sense of the fluidity when you launch a program like this. And they say Jelly Bean's even faster because it's got butter. as far as I can tell, the live background does not drain the battery. The display will drain the battery. The more you just use the display, of course, the more. So 20. I've got an hour and a half on the battery. It's at 99%. Oh, I just was charging it, so that's not fair. But 29% screen, 22% Android system, 19% OS. This is pretty typical. But this is brand. You know, this is kind of fresh. So I should let I won't plug it in. I'll let it run for a little while, and let you see how it's been used. It does, you know, the screen resolution is the same, so I'm getting as much real estate on the screen. I like it. I'm actually very happy with it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Dr. T in our chat room says he was able to get his YouTube subscribers by hand by copying and pasting. That seems like a lot. But apparently you can do that. 8888, Ask Leo. I think there's got to be a better way. Got to be a better way. But understand that the issue really is going to come down to what YouTube is doing to protect users' privacy. Jillian, San Juan Capistrano, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, Leo. I'm kind of a computer dinosaur. My first computer was an IBM 8086, and then I got an 8088, so you know where I'm coming from.
Oh, that's all right. That's my first PC was an 8088 as well, so...
Yeah, good old 5 1/4 floppies. Anyway, I don't fit your demographic.
Well, yes, you do. First of all, I doubt you're still using it. If you're still using it, then you might be a dinosaur.
Oh, hell no.
Second, the nice thing about the thing I love about doing this, about covering technology, is that there is no demographic. It's young and old. It's rich and poor. It's everybody who's interested. That's all. The only requirement is an interest. And we have lots of older people, including myself, who are pretty adept.
Well, I'm not too adept anymore, but my question is I'm 73, and I'm obviously female, and I use my smartphone as my lifeline as well as my smartphone
sure.
to save myself $30 a month.
Okay.
I just take my phone
can
around.
Close my...
If I fall and I can't get up, I can call.
Right. Now, that's a little risky because the one difference between a cell phone and a landline phone is that the cell phone's less reliable and 911 isn't exactly tied into it, right? It doesn't know exactly where you are, things like that. But I think as long as you're aware of those issues, it's probably okay.
Well, 911 always seems to know where I am, though I don't call it very often. Anyway, my question is this. I want to upgrade to a 4G, but I have had some dependability problems with Motorola. This is my third Droid X that I'm calling you on.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear all this about Ice Cream Sandwich, which apparently is coming out in the middle of July for both the Samsung and the Droid. I have Verizon, so if that makes a difference. Anyway, I want to upgrade to a 4G. I would like to know your thoughts. And also, is the damn thing going to become obsolete 3 weeks after
Guarantee you it's obsolete 3 weeks after you get it. But you remember that from the days of computers. You'd buy a computer, you'd take it home, and it'd drop $1,000 in value. And we're in that same kind of rapid development cycle in cell phones now that we were in computers for the first 10 years, where every month there'd be a big improvement, it slowed down quite a bit in computing, in desktop computing, but it has not yet in cell phones. We're really in that growth cycle. But the benefit of that is you get better and better stuff for less and less money. Are you in a 4G area for Verizon? Does Verizon have 4G in San Juan Capistrano?
Well, they tell me that, but I have to tell you that 2 hours ago, my phone dropped to 1X, which ticks me off enormously considering what I paid per month.
Well, I would pay close attention to that. It would be a mistake to buy 4G if you don't have it in your area, because there are a couple of things about 4G. It currently, it burns battery like crazy. It also, at least on the current phones, means you have to have a dual core, not quad core phone. I'm using right now the Samsung Galaxy S3, which Verizon now sells, and I think it'll be delivered in the next couple of days. So you could go into a Verizon store and try it. It is beautiful. It is a lightweight, fast, very reliable phone. I've had no trouble with it. I think the newer phone, you're right about Motorola. I don't know if their manufacturer has been that good. Now, Google owns them now, so that may change. But I think Samsung right now makes the best Android phones, and I think the Galaxy S3 is the best. So
the battery doesn't bother me too much because I spend an awful lot of time at home.
Right.
And I keep my phone charged because it's the only thing I've got. I keep it charged all the time.
Right.
So that's not a big problem for me.
That would be the biggest negative on LTE, on 4G, on a phone. Other than that, you know, on this Galaxy S3, I have the European non-LTE version, and it has a quad-core Exynos processor, but you can't do that with LTE. They can only do dual-core. Fine. Dual-core is fine. I don't think that's a real problem.
Okay. Now, they tell me I can still have a hotspot on it if I get a 4G and if I get a Samsung. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, now you have to pay extra, I believe, with Verizon. You have to pay a slight, you know, $10, $20 extra fee to use it that way. But I'll tell you.
I'm paying it now, so that's not a problem.
And if if you're getting good 4G coverage, it's probably going to be better than your local ISP.
Okay, and then if I buy a Nexus 7, I can run the Wi-Fi off my hotspot for when I want to connect with the internet, and other than that, I can just play my games and stuff.
You absolutely could. You absolutely could. But I would. Let me just check. I'm going to look at the Verizon coverage map and see if they have what they've got. Oh yeah, they claim excellent coverage in your area.
Yeah, unless they're lying to me, like they'd love to do.
Well, exactly. You're saying, let me see 4G. Let's see what the 4G is. Yeah, they say it's 100% in your area. So until you go inland, but I would look carefully at the map, make sure. And, you know, most cases what you can do at the store is say, look, I want to see if I'm getting 4G at home. And if you're not, then I want to take it back. But according to this map, you get their full bore 4G LTE in town.
If I go somewhere where they don't have 4G, it just drops to 3G.
Right. Just like your existing phone, it'll even go to 1X. It'll go all the way down.
Yeah, God forbid.
Yes. But if you're at home, are you in town? Because in town, they claim full 4G coverage.
Sweetie, I'm so in town, I can hear the mission bell.
Oh, I'm so... Are the swallows... Now, do they stay there in the summer and leave in the winter? Is that how that works?
Yeah, but they go to Mission Viejo now because we've built too many houses.
They don't come back to the mission at San Juan Capistrano?
Well, kind of.
Oh, man.
I know. I hate to dispel the myth.
Man. That's terrible.
They the trouble is that they built houses and dug up all the agricultural land, and that's where they get the fuel for their little nest.
So they have to go where the nests, where they can nest.
But I have to tell you that my friend who lives about a mile from me annually has a swallow's nest in her eaves above her front door, which some of her neighbors think is terrible because they think it's dirty, and she thinks it's wonderful because it's swallows.
Oh, I love swallows. So you saying
really neat.
The swallows return to Mission Viejo now?
They go to Mission Viejo. They go up to University. They go where they could get high under the protected eaves.
Of course.
They don't like one story. In fact, San Juan built swallows shelters at one point in time at an enormous cost of $2,000 a piece.
Oh, my.
And nobody talked to any ornithologist, so they built the swallow shelters so they were about maybe 6 feet off the ground, and no self-respecting swallow would go near them.
Well, I hope they didn't get crows, because they're horrible.
Oh, we've got crows, and unfortunately, we're a protected city, and they won't let us even spit at them.
Oh, those crows will chase every bird out of there. Hey, Jillian, I got to run. I think you should take a look at the Galaxy S3. I think you'll love it, and I think your 4G will be phenomenal, and use it as a hotspot. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
In my memory, when the swallows come back to Capistrano,
which apparently they're never going to do.
That's the day I pray that you'll come back to me.
I guess he doesn't really like her all that much. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, Leo Laporte. You know, I thought it was very interesting. Here's Jillian, who claims to be a computer dinosaur, who has eliminated her phone service, is using a cell phone for that, a smartphone for that, and is about to eliminate her internet service provider because she's going to use the 4G on her smartphone with tethering. And, of course, that will be less expensive. And I imagine, as long as it doesn't get over congested, which sometimes it can do, that 4G where she is should be really good. We're seeing speeds when there's no traffic, or, you know, when you the early adopters of LTE in San Francisco, for instance, we're seeing 20 megabits per second downloads and uploads in the 6 to 7 megabits per second. Now, it's about half that now that the more people are using it. But that's still, in most cases, as good as, if not better, than residential internet access. So no reason not to use it, unless it's down. But, you know, the internet could be down. I don't know if you noticed, were you able to watch Netflix last night? Were you able to upload pictures to Instagram or pin things to Pinterest? Even my Spotify was down last night. But there was apparently a big outage for Amazon's servers. And a lot of people use Amazon. It turns out many, many, many more people use Amazon Web Services than you even know. Friday night, because of storms in North Virginia, power outages impaired Amazon's web services data centers, brought down Pinterest, Instagram, Netflix, and other Amazon web service dependent services. 50% recovery as of midnight last night. So I know I checked my Instagram 3 or 4 times last night, nothing. And I think what happens is people assume, oh, Twitter's down, it must be Twitter. Or, oh, Instagram's down, it must be. It's not. In many cases, these companies, Twitter does use its own servers now, but in many cases, these, especially new companies, don't use their own servers. They use Amazon. They may start using Google. Google launched a competitor to Amazon Web Services called Google Compute Engine. Boy, that was interesting. Google had its big developers conference. I was talking about that last hour. On Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday they had a keynote, and they showed this new Google Compute Engine, which allows you to, for about $2 million a day, you could do fewer, but if you want to use 600,000 processors, what? Yes, 600,000 cores, a couple million a day, but they showed some DNA calculations, which normally would take 10 minutes per connection, 10 minutes per line drawn. And they showed it on 600,000 processors, and it was drawing several lines a second. And so for big research institutions, this is huge. But for anybody who needs a lot of processor power, this is a very interesting competitor. So now Microsoft's doing it with Azure. We've got Amazon, EC2, and web services. We've got Google doing it. It's a very competitive space. There are lots of other companies you might not have heard of also doing this, Rackspace and others. Very interesting. 8888 Ask Leah. It just shows you the internet is, it's all interconnected, all interlocked, and it doesn't take much storms in Virginia to bring down a big chunk of the net. So Jillian's 4G service will be great. And I think it'll be fairly reliable, but you never know. Stuff goes down all the time. 888-ASK-LEO. That's my phone number. 888-827-5536. The website is techguylabs.com. Juan in Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Big fan of yours. How are you?
Thanks, Juan. Nice to meet you.
So I have a question. I just started my own tutoring company, and since I've always heard you, you've always said you need a website. So I did some research, and I found this website-making company called Wibbly.com. Hmm. And I'm looking at the website, and I created my little website. And I thought it was okay at first, but then I looked at other website-making companies, and I found Wix. And their creations are so beautiful, but they're flash-based.
Ah,
and I remember that
Don't do it. Are they really flash-based? This company will be out of business any minute now.
Really?
Do you want to be seen on mobile devices?
Yes, that's the only reason I'm calling you.
Okay, well, Flash doesn't work on mobile devices. Not only does it not work on iPhone or iPad, Flash, which is an Adobe technology, Adobe announced they're not going to make it for mobile at all anymore. It's not going to work on Android anymore either. It's not a good choice. Now, this company, Wix, might at some point, they now are saying you can use HTML5. So that's what I would recommend. Here's a couple of other reasons not to use Flash. Flash is inaccessible, which means if you get a blind user, they can't see, their screen readers can't read what's on your website. It can't be done. It also is unsearchable. Google can't go into your site and look at what the contents of the site are. All it sees is a blob of Flash. So Flash is a terrible idea every which way but loose. I'm sure this company will start shifting away from Flash because I cannot recommend anybody use Flash on a website today. It also annoys your users.
What do you recommend for my website? Like I said, I'm looking at it and it doesn't look that...
What's your website?
It's offerla.com, ALL4LA.com.
Offer... The number 4, A-L...
It's A-L-L, the number 4, L-A.com.
Oh, all 4 L-A, I get it.
Yes.
And is it all about Los Angeles stuff? Oh, it's tutoring.
Yes, I've been a tutor for 8 years now, and
What a good idea. So this makes it easy for people to find out more about you. You do Spanish language tutoring, so if somebody comes there, you have a versión español, and they can read that. This is great.
Yes.
You know what? This is a nice site. This is from Wibbly, you said?
Wibbly, yeah.
Wibbly?
Yes.
And is there Flash on this site?
No, I think it's HTML.
I would stick with it. I think this is fine. Are you unhappy with it?
That fancy.
It doesn't need to be fancy.
Oh, it doesn't?
Okay. No. In fact, I think this is very clean and attractive, and I think it's just fine.
You think so?
Yeah. What do your customers say?
They like it, but... I don't know how to... I'm looking at the Apple website, and I know that you're creating your own website in a couple of weeks.
Do you want to know how much we spent for the new Tech Guy site? Six figures.
Oh, yeah, no.
Don't.
I'm waiting for it, though. I'm waiting
Don't
for it.
Go there. The only reason we can do that is because... I don't know why we could do that. You know, I would stick with what you got. This site is fine. It looks great. It's not Wibbly that I would worry about. It is maybe if you wanted to get a designer to, work on the graphics or the, like this bookie guy. That's cute. You could make it cooler looking. I think this is fine. Juan, you don't want to look too expensive. Remember, you got to consider your audience. If you had a big, expensive, fancy site, you might scare people off. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Cost us nearly $100,000 for that site. The reason we can afford it is because we the site makes us money, obviously. And it's very important for it to work. So it does, and I think we're really on to this. And we've got a great guy, Josh Windisch, doing it. Look at all these stations. Look at that. That's pretty cool. These are all our stations. That map looks good, doesn't it? I'm happy about that map. This is the Tech Guy Network. Isn't that pretty cool? That's why we can spend $100,000 on a site. If you're a tutor, I probably wouldn't do that. The other thing is I wanted to have more functionality in the site, right? So what's going on now is there's audio and video embedded in the site. You can share it, subscribe to it, download it. And then each question, if you want, you can go to the question and you can actually watch the question. It'll jump right to it and then look at the answer. And then this is the best part. You can then comment on it. So I'm hoping that as time goes by, people will put some more information in there. So this, I'm very excited. I think we're on the right track. The only reason we're using Flash, this is Flash because, well, it's YouTube. I don't know if it's Flash. Actually, it's not Flash. It's YouTube. So if you go there on iOS, it should work just fine. So there's no Flash on this site. There's still a lot of kinks. We're still in beta, but soon. The iPad's not doing what it's supposed to do. We spent a lot of money to mobilize it, so we're working on the mobile. It's supposed to be what they call responsive design, so it reformats itself appropriately depending on the size of the page. It's really an important point to make in web design that you really have to consider your audience. So our last caller is a tutor, and he charges, I'm sure, hourly for tutoring services. He does it also for the Hispanic community. He has a very nice, very functional, very important to consider the word functional, site. And he wants to dress it up, though. He wants it to look better. He wants to have animations and graphics. But you got to think about it, because what is the message that's going to go out to your users? Are they going to say, wow, that's a beautiful site. This guy must be a great tutor? Or I would think my reaction would be, wow, this is a great site. This guy must charge a mint. You don't want to. See, there's subtle messages. Your site is a marketing vehicle, right? So it should, in a way, reflect you, your values, your standards. If you're a flashy guy, well, then maybe you need a flashy site. But my sense is if you're a tutor, what you really want to convey is honesty, reliability, effectiveness, affordability. And a site design need only do that. It doesn't need a lot of flashy graphics to do that. Emen7 says patience. Yeah, a tutor needs to be very patient. That doesn't mean that your site should require patience on the part of your your users. But I don't know how you would convey patience in a site, but maybe there's a way to do that. Jeff, that's why you spend a lot of money on a site, to get a good designer who understands that design is communication. And that a good web designer will interview you extensively about yourself, your values, your business, your audience, who you're aiming at, what kind of message you're trying to convey with your site, because that's what the design needs to convey. Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Leo. I'm hoping you can help me out. I have a cell phone, and I'd like to copy the text messages onto my computer, kind of to back them up. I'm just wondering if that might be possible.
Well, if it's an Android phone, yes. If it's an iPhone, no. Is it an iPhone?
It's a Samsung LG Rumor Touch.
You're in luck.
I am.
Yeah.
Good.
The Rumor is an Android phone, is it not?
I don't know. I thought the operating system was what is it? Something MP.
Maybe you're not in luck. I'm looking at it here. I'm pretty sure it's an Android phone. Anybody know? It's a feature phone. Oh, dear. Well, okay, if it's not a smartphone, then I'm not sure. What I would do is take it to an independent cell phone dealer and say, I'm looking at it. It kind of looks like it's an Android phone. Very text messaging friendly interface, slider, QWERTY keyboard. Looks like available for $149. Yeah, I guess it's a feature phone. It's kind of in between a smartphone and a basic phone. It doesn't look like it has an operating system like Android. In which case, if it were Android, there are a number of great programs like Mighty Text and Phone Desk, which will in fact get your text messages off the phone, because Android gives you an interface, gives them, the programmer, an interface that can read and write text messages. Unfortunately, a feature phone, it's not software, it's not an operating system, doesn't have an interface. So you either want to take it to a good independent phone store, you know, somebody who sells for everybody, Verizon, Sprint, Virgin. Those guys are smart. They have devices they can connect to the phone that probably can get this. Conoco in our chat room says, it's a feature phone that went to school. Yeah, it's kind of a nice feature phone, right? But you need some special hardware, in other words, to read, or maybe some software if you've got a USB connector on it. I would say probably unlikely that you're going to be able to get those messages off. You might be easier just to do it by hand. Now, if you are using Android phones, folks, I've just started using Mighty Text, and I love it. When a text comes to my Android phone, it automatically goes to my browser. I can start a text message on my phone, a thread, complete it on the browser. The browser will let me know when the phone is ringing. This is really a nice piece of software. There's some others like it. Phone Desk is another one. And that is because Android gives you a user interface to the messenger. Apple does not. Apple says, no, only we can read this. Sorry. So unless Apple provided a way to do that, there's not going to be a program like that, unfortunately, for Apple phones, just for Android phones. Same thing with feature phones. They don't really expect you to be interfacing with a computer. So, Jeff, my guess is no, that you're going to have to do this manually. Steve in San Diego, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
You know, I love your show. Been listening to it for about 3 years now, and because of you, so it's either all your fault or you get all the kudos. I'm completely macked out.
All right, you're a Mac Daddy.
A Mac Daddy. I've got I have an iPhone 4S. I've got the new iPad. I've got a MacBook Pro 13, and I'm going to Vietnam in December with my girlfriend to meet her family, and we're going to be staying at a decent hotel, a 4-star hotel, and I want to know how I can stay connected. I have AT&T. People are telling me I should just leave my iPhone at home and just buy a phone there. I have to keep in touch with my office. We're going to be gone for about 3 weeks. So
first of all, you got to get the phone unlocked.
Okay.
Now, if you said yours is AT&T, right?
Right.
AT&T has recently instituted a policy of unlocking phones. In fact, I had the weirdest experience. Last week, I plugged my iPhone into iTunes. It said, we need to update the software from your carrier. I said, okay. It said, your phone is now unlocked. So without my even asking, AT&T unlocked my phone. What they say is once you're out of contract, once you've had the phone for the minimum 2 years, we'll unlock it. But I would check with your AT&T store and say, can you unlock this? I'm going overseas. Once you unlock it, then you can buy a SIM card in Vietnam and use it. Now, here's the deal on that. It really is country specific. My friend Sarah Lane, who works for me, just went to France. She was able to go to an Orange store and buy a SIM card that gave her a French phone number and French data for 15 euros a month, unlimited data. So that was a great deal.
Okay.
So, but then she went somewhere else. It was a little bit more difficult. So in other words, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to do this in Vietnam. You will get thank you, Big Ginge. Big Ginge, who's a British listener, says travelerspoint.com actually has information about this. And here's Vietnam. Let me just look quickly. Vietnam prepaid SIM card. Sounds like you can do this. $25 airtime credit, local cell phone number, free incoming calls, voicemail, text messaging. You'll have to have a GSM 900 compatible international cell phone. I think that's an unlocked iPhone will probably work. So this is good. This is a good site. This is called travelerspoint.com. The other option is to call AT&T and say, I'm going to Vietnam. I need an international data plan. This is what I usually do because I want to keep my local number. I want my number to work.
Yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah, so then you just call AT&T. Now, it's not cheap, but it's not horribly expensive. You just have to pay attention.
Okay.
I think it was $200 for 500 megabytes, something like that. You can get 50 megabytes, 150 megabytes. That way, you keep your phone number, you're paying for data, not a huge amount. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ruben in Los Angeles, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ruben.
Hey, the grand poobah of tech. How you doing?
Yeah, but the grand poobah. I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been a long time. Hey, I'll try to be quick here. Actually, I have two issues. One of them I may have just solved, but the biggest thing is my wife had my hand-me-down PowerPC G4 867 megahertz, which has been working fine for all these wonderful years. Yeah, baby.
Many years.
So I just upgraded her to a Mac Mini i5. You know, it's the 2.3.
Good man. That's a nice upgrade.
Yeah, dropped 8 gig of RAM in there.
Oh, good.
Went out and bought her a brand new 23-inch LG monitor this morning. And the problem I was having...
You're going to get some cookies tonight.
Yeah, baby.
Maybe a big cake.
Oh, she's coming from that little Princeton 15-inch square thing to this thing.
Oh, that's nice. You are a good hubby.
I'm trying. But, you know, I had a problem here, which I may have just solved, actually. I think I haven't connected it up because I was waiting for you. But I had a Thunderbolt to DVI. I got to close this door. The landscapers are working. I had a Thunderbolt to DVI adapter that I was trying to use. And every time that I, you know, put the machine to sleep, I mean, I couldn't reboot it and get my video back. I'd
that's
actually
interesting.
Reset the PRAM. To get it back on.
You're
and this
kidding.
This is with the Apple adapter. And I actually went out and bought two of these. I got one, and I took it back, and I said, you know, I don't think it's working. So they swapped it out, no big deal, and brought it home. The same thing was going on. So while waiting for you here, I just found a small thread somewhere that says, and maybe you already know this or somebody in the chat room knows, that apparently the Mac Mini is looking for HDMI first, for video, second.
This new Mini has HDMI on it.
Right.
Now, apparently there was something, the chat room saying there was a Thunderbolt update in the last couple of weeks. I presume, though, you're running software update and keeping your Macs up to date.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, anyway, so that's...
So what did you do? Did you just... I'd be honest with you, I would use the HDMI port instead of the Thunderbolt port anyway. HDMI to DVI is a very straightforward connection.
Well, after looking at the box on the monitor here, you know, and the one page of instructions and looking what I actually bought her, I'm thinking that, you know, yeah, that kind of makes it moot anyway because this monitor just looks like a beast, you know.
Right.
And it's, you know, full HD and everything, and I'm looking back here on the back of it, and it certainly has an HDMI port, so I think that's going
to
be the solution.
Oh, yeah, HDMI to HDMI, absolutely. Might be a little lower resolution because, as you probably know, HDMI won't go higher than 1080p, so... Suddenly you'll be 1080p, but that's, you know, that's pretty good. That's fine. Certainly coming from a 15-inch Princeton monitor, she'll never notice.
Yeah, she's going to be doing a lot of Lightroom and, you know, and stuff like that. That's the heaviest thing, you know, she'll be doing. So I think that'll work out fine. You know, no problem there. But, hey, I got to tell you something real quick about the getting to the 1.2 gigahertz things we walk around in our pocket.
Yeah.
I just got off Verizon. Matter of fact, I've got 8 days to go. I haven't used them in 2 weeks. I went out, and this time I went really wacky. I decided to go no contract. So I went Virgin Mobile, and the reason I went with them, I was going to stay with Verizon and get the Samsung like you did, but they have the HTC Evo V 4G. So I thought, you know what? $35 a month, what the heck, you know? Spend $299 for the phone, I'll knock it out. It'd be no problem. Save me a ton of money. I got to tell you. This thing is unbelievable. 4G, I know not everybody, you know, it's all about where you live and if it works in your area. You know, I'm lucky enough to live here in L.A. and it works, and not everybody in the nation is not going to have this experience. But just to let you know, we used this thing last Sunday for 10 hours as a hotspot. My wife sat there with her Kindle, okay, while I was out shooting video of some water skiing and some other stuff. You know, I was out shooting all day long. Never hooked it up to power. We just used the battery for 10 hours. We were always in a 4G area, and she sat there and was using her Kindle all day to pull down video and watch TV shows
and
watch movies.
That's pretty good.
and the battery lasted 10 hours.
Wow.
So I've been getting about 10 hours a day out of this thing, and, you know, I only make probably, you know, I only use 170 minutes a month, 200 minutes a month, so it's perfect for me. So we ended up with basically this. We ended up with, actually, she's been with them for about a year, so for $85 a month, we've got one 4G phone, a regular great phone for her, and a hotspot.
How much was the Evo V without contract?
$299.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. And this thing's a beast in itself, you know.
And I love it. I mean, Virgin's month to month is not very expensive, right? It's around 35.
Not month to month. You're on the Sprint network, and if that works for you, then you're not slacking at all, and it's a great thing.
Now, you're not using the 3D feature of this phone, are you?
No, you know what? It sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the only thing. They call this the 3D on Sprint's network. They call it the V on Virgin. But it's a 3D phone. I don't really get that idea.
Yeah, it's a bunch of garbage. You know,
And I was curious about this, is how fast is the camera? Because I had some experiences with the Sprint version of this phone. The camera was fairly slow. Have you used the camera?
This camera, yeah, I have used it. It is fast. I mean, it's rapid.
They fixed it then. Sometimes this happens. Remember, each carrier, each manufacturer has its own version of Android, and bugs will creep in. I noticed that on the Droid Bionic as well. Very slow camera. It would take a few seconds to launch. By then, you know, the picture opportunity is gone. But what happens is, frequently this is the case, they're able to fix that with just an update. So good. Well, hey, I appreciate the tip, Ruben. That sounds like a good way to go. I think a lot of people probably should be looking at, these are called MVNOs. In this case, Virgin is a fully owned by a Sprint now. But the idea was that Virgin, when it was a separate company, would buy Sprint access and resell it. And there are a number of these mobile virtual network operators, and they often are better price-wise, more competitive. They may not have the latest phones. In fact, most cases they don't. But if you're happy with the phone they've got, these often are very good choices. Who did I say? I said Paul. No, I said Lance in Massachusetts. That's what I said. Hey, Lance, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Lance.
What I'd like to find out from you is this. I want to convert VCR tapes and audio cassette tapes into my computer for future burns.
They're separate. You're doing the same thing, which is taking an analog medium, whether it's video or audio, and converting it to bits. And then once it's on the hard drive, you can burn it, you can do all sorts, you can edit it, you do all sorts of things. So it's in general the same thing, but the way you do it is different. For audio, you've already got an A to D converter. It's called your sound card. So anything that could play back that cassette, you could just plug the output of the cassette player into your sound card, line in if you've got it, mic in if you don't, and then use a free program from SourceForge called Audacity. You just Google Audacity, and there's free versions for Linux, Windows, and Mac, and it's a great open source recorder. So you press record, you press play on the cassette recorder, you record it, and you're done. That's easy. Audio's easy. Video a little harder. You need a video capture card. There are standalone devices. Last time we talked about this, somebody called in and said, hey, you know, I've got a great product. Pioneer made them, Panasonic made them, a number of companies make them, that has a VCR slot on the left, a DVD recorder on the right. That would work also, where you pop the VCR in, pop a blank DVD R or RW in, and it'll burn it. And then you can import it into your computer from there. Or get a video capture card. I'll give you some companies to look at when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, a good day to you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, hour number three of the Tech Guy show. We're talking about, well, you know, the usual stuff. Computers, the internet, cell phones, digital photography, home theater, that kind of jazz. If you want to give me a ring and ask a question or maybe answer a question we had earlier, 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 8888-ASK-LEO. And I'll be glad to take your calls. Toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. And we do have, I know we have a lot of listeners on the internet. We make a podcast available, so a lot of people listen that way. Just use Skype out and call that toll-free number. It won't cost you anything. So before the break, we were talking to Lance. He's got a box load of old VHS tapes and audio cassettes. He wants to put them on the computer. The audio cassettes are easy. It's It's the video that's a little tricky. If you do you have the VCR still, Lance?
Yes.
Well, that's a good sign. Then you don't probably need to buy a VCR. You just need to buy a way to connect the VCR into the computer. You have a computer too, I presume, yeah?
Yeah. Actually, I was looking online, and there's this Ion of videos.
Ion is an interesting company. They sell USB conversion devices. I have an Ion turntable, for instance, so you can play records and connect it to your computer. An interesting thing. My feeling about video over USB is don't do it because it's just not fast enough. So if you're going to do video capture, either do it via a faster connection like FireWire or get a card that goes in your tower case. Are you going to a laptop or a desktop?
Laptop.
Yeah, so you can't put a card in there. And I'm guessing that laptop probably doesn't have FireWire either, does it?
Right.
So you have to use USB.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I guess the Ion would be okay. The reason I don't like USB is not fast enough. So USB 3 would be, but I don't know if anybody's making a video capture USB device. USB 3 device. They're USB 2. And the problem is the video is very rich. And putting that into a computer via USB means you're going to have to compress it heavily on the USB side. And it's not going to look great. Now, the truth is a VHS tape isn't looking great anyway, is it? So Ion sells this digital video converter that takes composite in, which is the red, white, and yellow connectors. And that's all a VCR will have. That's the old school, man. I see it has S-Video, too. That's nice. So you could put S-Video into this. And then it goes, it's $50. It comes with decent software, the PowerLink or PowerDirector from CyberLink. And it is, after all, a VCR. It's not super high-quality video to begin with. The problem with video, USB, video over USB, is just the bandwidth is so low on USB that you're just not going to get the best possible conversion. I'd far prefer to see it done in hardware or FireWire if you're going to connect it to a PC. But, yeah, the Ion's fine. They make decent stuff. Boy, I wonder if anybody makes – it'd probably be pricey. USB 3 is fast enough. It's as fast as FireWire, even a little faster. Blackmagic, that's not a surprise. They make high-end video capture devices, and apparently somebody in the chat room is saying Blackmagic has a device that will do USB 3. Oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. The Blackmagic Video Recorder H.264. See, this is like, this is doing compression before it comes into the device. I'd say the Ion's fine. If you wanted to look at a higher-end device, this blackmagic.com. It's blackmagic-design.com, their video recorder. That would work, too. It's a USB plug, plugs right into the side of the laptop. And they also would let you watch TV, capture analog videos from VHS, Video 8, video cameras, and more direct to the H.264 file format, which is a good compression format. You know, this might be better than the Ion. I bet it's more expensive. Blackmagic Video Recorder. We'll put a link in the show notes for that. How about that? Let's move to Bobby, Los Angeles. Hi, Bobby. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
Good, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I've got a quick question. I have a two-wire router that came with my AT&T U-verse internet service. And my computer is hooked up to it, as well as I have an Apple laptop, as well as another Apple laptop. But we're just getting slow and choppy service. Like, it'll disconnect every once in a while. So I'm wondering, would it be quicker with my internet speed, speed enough or quick enough if I was to buy a separate modem and separate router other than the two-wire?
Does U-verse, does AT&T let you do that? I don't think they do.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that there are rules against that.
Well, it's not rules. It's just, I guess it is. I guess that is a rule, isn't it? Yeah, they're not required to. Cable companies do, but the generally DSL providers, it's up to them. And in this case, U-verse, their position, I believe, is, hey, we have some fancy stuff in that two-wire. You can't just go out and get a modem. You got to rent it from us. You can get a different router. You just need the two-wire to make the conversion of the data. So, but I don't, you know, if it's slow and choppy, I doubt that that's the two-wire router. I mean, those aren't the greatest in the world, but I would guess it's the U-verse service more than anything else. When you're getting service over phone lines, which is what you're getting, it's challenging. And if the internal wiring isn't great in your house or the wiring outside your house is not great, it can really not give you great results. I would, you know, call AT&T. Call to AT&T. But it is true you could get a third-party router. I personally like D-Link routers and use that. You'll take that two-wire and say, I want you to be bridge mode. I want you just to pass that stuff along to my high-quality router. And that might be better. But to be honest, Bobby, you can't replace the two-wire because they need that for the video. And I suspect that if it's choppy, it's probably not going to be any better with a better router. You need to call AT&T. Try another router if you feel like it. Paul in Colorado, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to the show. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Long-time listener, second-time caller.
That sounds good to me. What can I do for you?
Well, I recently bought a MacBook Pro, and I'm using a microphone plug to my stereo, and I'm wondering if there's a better way. You discussed something like that last week on a PC.
Yeah, there's definitely a better way. So you want to play music to your stereo?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, one good way to do this would be an Apple TV. Do you have an AV receiver that has HDMI in?
No.
No,
it's old school. You'll love it. It's Macintosh, just like the computer.
Yeah, baby. So that means your inputs are all RCA jacks. You probably don't even have an optical input, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
it's old.
So what we were talking about when you heard us was something called an Apple AirPort Express, which is really a Wi-Fi router with an analog audio jack. But it's $99. I don't know if this is the best way to do it either, but what would happen is then you use the AirPort Express, and you can control that from iTunes. Are you always playing the music through iTunes?
Yes.
So you can tell iTunes, when it sees an AirPort Express, it'll let you select within iTunes that for the output. And you can have any speakers hooked up to that. But it's not so very different from taking the line out of the computer. In fact, it's pretty much exactly the same thing.
Well, I drive a truck, so I take it home.
Oh, this is interesting. So are you doing this in the truck or at home?
Well, I'm doing it at home.
Ah.
I keep the computer with me in the truck, so if it's where I got to take the back off and do all kinds of stuff, maybe that AirPort Express is the way to go.
That's another way. I've got one more solution. If you hang on, I'll talk about something called a DAC when we continue. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. So, your computer has an analog jack for output that you could plug a mini plug into and plug it into a stereo system or powered speakers or whatever. In a lot of cases, that's fine, unless you have a high-quality stereo system with, let's say, Macintosh amps and really great Klipshorn speakers, then you might want to do it a little bit differently. But the reason is those analog out of the computer is noisy. In order to get sound into your stereo, there's two different ways. You can have it digitally or analog. Some stereos, more modern stereo receivers, have digital inputs. But at some point, the digital bits have to be converted to analog sound, certainly by the time they get to the speaker. So what we call that is a DAC, or a digital to analog converter, DAC. Now, your computer has a DAC. That's what the sound card is. It takes the bits, turns them into sound, outputs them to a speaker via an analog cable. But the problem is the DAC that's inside your computer, whether it's a laptop or desktop, is also subject to a lot of noise from all the radio frequencies flying around inside the box. Sometimes it's also pretty cheap DAC, and so you might not get the best quality sound. If it doesn't, you know, if it sounds good to you, it's good. I'm not saying you have to get a better DAC, but a lot of times audio files, and it sounds like Paul, who's got, you know, Macintosh components, might be an audio file. So what we'd like to do is move the digital to analog conversion outside of the box. What you want, Paul, is a USB connector that has an analog output suitable for your Macintosh amp. Then when you get home, you put the laptop on the stereo, you plug in the USB connector, and you're good to go. Now, you'll have to tell in the control panel, you'll have to tell the Macintosh output audio to USB. But all the audio, not just iTunes, but anything you play on that computer will now be output to your Macintosh stereo system. So when you buy a DAC, there is a wide range of choices, ranging from $15 to $15,000. I'm assuming you don't want the super high quality one. Are you pretty serious about music, Paul?
I am, but I don't want the $15,000 one.
That's serious, like a heart attack serious. I reviewed and liked very much a very simple device that gives you excellent quality from a company called High Resolution Technologies. At highresolutiontechnologies.com.
H-I or the letter I?
H-I-G-H. If you could Google HRT Streamer, you'll find it. HRT is their initials. And they have DACs, high-quality DACs, designed to take a sound via USB and convert it to analog for your stereo system. They have them that work with iPhones. They have 30-pin connectors. They have them that are powered by your 12 volts, so you could use it in your truck or your boat. And then they have the higher quality streamers, the music streamer and the line streamer. I use the music streamer. Now, these can get expensive. Let me just look at the... I think the prices range in the hundreds of dollars. But the quality is better. It's 24-bit analog-to-digital conversion, so that means you're going to get much higher quality sound. If you're playing back 128-bit MP3s, I'd get a $15 DAC, but if you've got higher quality music on that hard drive and you've got a Mac stereo with good speakers, you probably are going to want to get something like the HRT.
I hate my speakers. They're Klipsch.
I got it. I named it. I said they were Klipsch. Klipsch.
You nailed it on the head. I was like, what is this guy saying?
Klipsch horns. I love them. But that, you know, that's the same vintage as those tube amps from Macintosh. Those are beautiful amps. Those amps weigh 100 pounds. They're gorgeous.
Well, my amplifier is the first solid state that came out with them. It's a tube tuner, and it's I love it.
Well, you know, if you care that much, and obviously you do, because this is expensive gear that you know, it's the state of the art. This is how I would go. I would get a DAC. You could do the Airport Express. That's $100. It is, in effect, a DAC using Wi-Fi. The advantage of that, you don't have to connect anything. You just come into the house. But the disadvantage is it will only play iTunes music.
Right.
So if you're watching a movie or whatever, you know, you're not going to get the audio from that.
Okay.
There's other companies that make DACs. Somebody in the chat room says NU, New Force, makes good DACs. You know, we're using right now a Griffin iMic, which is like $15. That's fine. I mean, there's lots of choices. What you're paying for, as you know this with audio gear, it's hard to tell sometimes if you're paying for magic unicorn dust or something real.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, well, yeah, you answered my question, and you got me pointed the direction I need to go. So.
Yeah, now you can audition stuff. I think these HRTs are quite good, and they're not hugely expensive. But New Force would be another one to look at. NUFORCE. The main thing that you need to know is you're looking for a DAC, a digital to analog converter. Something that will take the USB out of the computer, convert it to analog that you can then input into your amp or your preamp. Richard Stevenson Ranch, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Phenomenally adequate.
That's good.
Question about internet service. I currently have Time Warner for my internet as part of a package, but the package is over and they keep raising the rates to where I'm up to $42 a month they want starting next month. They claim that the DSL is considerably slower. True, not true?
Yeah, well, they know because it's theirs, right?
Yeah.
So...
No, they said that DSL Extreme is considered to be slower than their internet service.
Oh, I see. Not their own DSL service, but another company. Yeah,
right.
That's true. Generally speaking, the difference now this can it all is implementation specific. So you can have a cable company that gives you terrible service, far below the quality of a DSL provider. It just depends. But in general, cable technology allows much higher speeds, 20 and 30 megabit downloads. 5 to 10 megabit uploads, providing that the cable company isn't overloading it. You know, it's somewhat dependent on them. If they've got 1,000 customers using one pipe, then because it's shared bandwidth from the head end, from the box that's in your neighborhood. So if all your neighbors are you watching Netflix, and this is something that happens to me with my cable internet frequently, that quality is going to go down at 6 p.m. every night as everybody tunes in Netflix because they're all drawing that same bandwidth. It's shared bandwidth. DSL is not shared in the neighborhood. It's shared back at the telephone company's central office. And generally speaking, is more consistent. But generally speaking, is also lower speed. Now, there are many cases where it's sufficient speed and consistency is more important than peak speed. So what cable companies sell you is peak speed. Hey, we reach 20 megabits or 30 megabits. That's our peak speed. But what you really want to know is, well, what's the sustained throughput when it's congested, when it's busy at 7 or 8 at night when everybody's watching Netflix? And that's hard to tell. I'd ask your neighbors. In general, DSL is more consistent if slower speed. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, we're on a telephone circuit here with 35 megabits symmetric, and it's rock solid. But we spent a
considerable amount of money for that.
Unless you want a $1,500 a month DSL bill, I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah, fiber, I'm not even talking about fiber. That's different. I'm talking about two different copper choices. The weather widget Chuck Can Help that I use is called Beautiful Desktop. Highly recommend it. They're really nice widgets. Lots of good choices for, that's this one. And it has a beautiful, when you tap the sun, you get the weather forecast. You can even get the moon. Stages of the moon and all that stuff. I like this a lot. If you tap the, you set it up this way, but you tap the time, you get the clock. And if you tap the date, you get your calendar. So this is beautiful widgets, and it's very customizable. I mean, you know, there's all these weather skins you can use. That doesn't look that different. There's different clock skins. It's very customizable. And this duplicates the HTC TouchSense. Widget. They have other widgets too. I'll show you. You can. I hope the fish are getting fed. Sorry. They're all going to the top. Oops. So these are all the beautiful widgets, all of these. Beautiful battery, beautiful home weather, beautiful smaller home weather, super clocks, beautiful today, beautiful toggle widget. This is just, I love this. These are must-haves on any Android phone. I downloaded immediately. I'll show you the clock, the super clock. And what's nice about Nova is these widgets are resizable. So I can make it as big as I want, which I think is a really nice feature of Nova. And
And I gather that's going to be something, an ice cream sandwich. It's one of the nicest things about Android phones is these widgets. So this is a Facebook widget, a Foursquare widget, a Mint widget, my Google Voice. It's my calendar, my to-do list, Flipboard. That's a widget, so I can see a little preview of what's on top on Flipboard, and I can even refresh it from the widget. Google Drive, Evernote. So, for instance, this is a direct to Evernote take a picture. Oh, Flipboard crashed. Direct to Evernote take a picture. So I'll tell it I always want to use the camera. And now I take the picture, and it goes right into a note for Evernote, which is great. Yes, I know that. So that's kind of handy. This is whole pages music widgets. Pandora, TuneIn Internet Radio, Audible.com. This is the very nice Samsung TouchWiz 4 widget for music playing. I think this is, I don't know what this is. That looks like Google Music. And this would be then probably Amazon. So these are my cloud players. This one's not even alive. Trying to feed the fish. Hey, give me some food. Oops. There they go. You can't overfeed these fish, which I really like.
Pain. I wonder if I'll ever find my way.
Okay, Leo, DSL Extreme Billboard here.
All right.
Ooh, that's nice, Blue Fox.
Forty-seven after the hour, our gadget guy, the Gizwiz, with his crazy gadget. but right now, we're going to go back and talk to Tom in Irvine, California. Our next caller at 8888 Ask Leo. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wonder if you have any alternatives to Google Voice.
I like Google Voice. It's a free service provided by Google that does a number of things. So I guess I'm going to ask you what it is you use Google Voice for.
Text messages and voicemails.
Okay.
Love the way you can check them from the computer and play your voicemails, on the computer.
Yeah, what I do is because in my course of my work, use many different cell phones. But if you have more than one phone number, home, work, and cell phone, you can have it set up a Google Voice number for free. And then have it go to all of those phones. So when somebody calls my Google Voice number, it rings all my phones. And so no matter which phone I'm carrying, I have it. Same thing with texts, when they send texts to that. Now, it's not a complete text service. For instance, it doesn't support images. I do like the fact that you can use Google Voice for voicemail, and then it sends you an email with the audio, or you can listen to the audio on your phone. Kind of gives every phone Apple-style visual voicemail. It's free. So what is it so that you use all those features? By the way, I didn't know this. Somebody just told me you can fax my Google Voice number with a fax machine. It will also email me a fax. So that's cool.
Wow. Does everything.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's just my Sprint goofed up and disconnected my phone, and somehow that interrupted Google Voice, and I tried re-downloading it, and ever since I've had a lot of quirkiness. And
oh, that's too bad.
It just completely disappeared, and I just wonder if there might be some...
Well, there are certainly many paid services that do something similar. We use in the office, we use Ring Central. Doesn't make sense for an individual. It's really a business cloud phone system, and there are a lot of these. So I run a Ring Central app on my phone that I can call, and it makes Ring Central, use my office 800 number when I call, even though I'm calling from my cell phone. Does visual voicemail, does all the things that Google Voice does, but it's not free. It's about $20 a person. So it's for an office. It's what we use in the office. I used to use Grasshopper. That's a little bit less expensive and can also be used by individuals. When it was just me, I used Grasshopper all the time. So that's one I would look at. But again, not free. That's the amazing thing about Google Voice. Google acquired a company called Grand Central. That was a startup, and I actually had a Grand Central account when Google acquired them. And I've been using it. So I've been using it since before it was a Google service. I'm sorry that it's not working for you.
Well, I got some help from Sprint. They walked me through, you know, loading it up again. Would it be better to try to contact Google for service?
No. No, because, you know, when Google offers free services, they don't offer much support. I call it support via a Python script. Python is a scripting language Google loves, and basically all of their support stuff is generated by script. It's not by humans. I would go to voice.google.com on your account and look at the settings. You know, you can detach phones, attach other phones. You can do a lot from the interface. So
yeah, I've done a lot of it, and yeah, maybe I'm just not finding the right...
What's going wrong?
Like I said yesterday, it just completely erased from my phone. It's not taking texts or voicemails
anymore. Well, I would go back to the Google Voice settings. I would delete that phone from the Google Voice settings and reattach it.
Okay, that's what I did last time.
Oh, you've done that. And remember that when you attach it, it's going to make a call to you and say, what is the code? And you have to give it that 2-digit code, and then it will attach it. You've done that?
Well, I did it when this happened once before, and it did fix it, but it was never quite the same. It's a little
wonky. You know, I have some weird results with Google Voice. For instance, for some strange reason, when my kids call me from our home number, it dumps them right to voicemail. And, you know, Uncle Bic, too, says it's a known issue with Sprint. You know, your Google Voice might be working fine on other phones, but that Sprint phone, apparently there's something going on with Sprint. You got to figure that the mobile companies don't like Google Voice because Google's offering free calls, free voicemail, all the stuff they charge, Google's giving away.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't either. Google's business model, they say, is the more you use the internet, the happier we are. That's because most of the money they make comes from advertising on web pages. When they first got Google Voice, they said, as a promo deal, we're going to give you free calls within the U.S. and Canada, free calls, but only till the end of the year. Then at the beginning of this year, they said, we'll do it for another year. So I don't know. I don't know how long this can last. Google did announce this week that they make a ton of money on Chrome, their Chrome browser. But really, what drives Google's revenues primarily is search and advertising that they show you on search pages. That's very lucrative. And so what they say is, we don't need to charge you for these services. Just keep using Google, and you'll see more ads, and we'll make more money. Apparently, Sprint has done some enhancements on Google Voice. Oh, that's always a bad sign. Anybody have a good free Google Voice replacement? I'd love to hear about it. I continue to use Google Voice like crazy. I find it a huge benefit. But that's because I carry so many phones all the time. Alan in Minnesota. Hey, Alan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
How are you?
Hey, Leo. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. My question today is, I've been trying to figure out a way to eliminate background noise when I'm taking video on my 1060D.
Yeah, because you hear on a lot of cameras that do video, you'll hear it when you focus, you'll hear it when you rattle the camera. You get a lot of noise coming through because the microphone's right on the camera, isn't it?
Exactly. And what I found is that I can't turn the automatic gain control off using the...
Do you have, now, this is really the only good solution, an external microphone jack on that camera?
Yes, I do.
Ah.
And one thing I found is a firmware add-on called Magic Lantern. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
It was actually designed for the Canon 5D Mark II.
Well, I have one of those. Tell me about it. So this is special firmware for the camera?
It doesn't eliminate the firmware. It's an add-on. Uh-huh. But I'm a little scared about doing it because I don't want to brick my camera.
Yeah, I'd be nervous about it, too. Actually, now that I look at it, I am familiar with this. I've used it on other cameras. This is not the solution I would recommend. I would recommend a hardware solution. If you have and this is why when people say, I want to shoot video on my DSLR, I always say, do you have a microphone jack, a mini jack? If you do, good news, you can use any kind of microphone with your camera. I use an adapter from a company called BeachTech, B-E-A-C-H-T-E-K, that you connect to the camera, and then you can connect professional microphones. But Rode, R-O-D-E, also makes a microphone called the Video Mic that's designed specifically for cameras that have a mini jack output. You put it in, it slides into the flash mount on the camera, the accessory mount, and then it has a little mini jack that plugs right into it. It's battery powered, and it also gives you excellent, excellent quality. I actually use the stereo Video Mic. And, you know, even just by moving the microphone off the camera is sufficient to give you a much, much better quality of sound. And these are better mics than those little embedded mics on the camera and so forth. So I would absolutely go to RODEMIC.com, look at those mics, and if you want to use professional-grade mics, Beach Tech has a great solution. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Looks like they've upgraded these mics. These really do a great job. And but they're still on camera.
I love running my
so
own
they're
business.
Good for ambient sound or loud sounds, but they wouldn't be good, say, for an interview. Notice though, they do allow you to put these on a pole if you wanted to. but really, if you're gonna do you want for instance handheld, which is the best way to do it. That's what we did when we were at the Nordic Light Festival. We had one of these Beach Techs connected to handheld mics, standard high quality professional studio mics, and we got much better results. These aren't too expensive. These Beach Techs depends on how fancy you want to get. Instance late payment reminders automatic. One click reports. These have gotten more fancy too. It's got a preamp. Wow. FreshBooks. Try it right now. Yeah, this would give you really professional grade quality. FreshBooks.com. All right, let me get the GizWiz online here. FreshBooks.com. Hello, Dickie D. Small business, you can't operate at anything less than full speed. I got an Epson Workforce Pro for the office. I can tell you, I love it. The thing's more than just fast. It's cheetah fast, but that's just half the story. You see, Epson also knows you got to run a tight ship these days in business, so the Workforce Pro is budget-friendly, too. Start with the ink is an incredible value. You could save. How many percentage? It's about 20% better than the iPhone. I do not carry the iPhone anymore. The iPhone's at home, resting. You can also cut resting comfortably. Hey, Dick.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Great. Wow.
Wow. Hide my video automatically. Close that. Put Dick there. Oh, don't eat my salad. That's mine. So I'm going to do, I got the HyperX from Kingston.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I'm going to review that on the GizWiz, and I have actually can compare it to the Corsair Extreme.
Excellent.
And you'll be happy to know the Kingston is kick-ass.
Good.
Yeah, makes a big difference.
Very good, yeah.
So you talked to Lisa. We're going to move you to Tuesday. That's okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
I think you and Jason have been coming up with some good ideas. I'm very excited.
No, I think it's going to be good, too.
I really want to put some pizzazz into the show. I want it to be our biggest show.
Wow.
Oh, it doesn't accept faxes. Somebody told me it did. Oh, well, never mind. We have a spot for the GizWiz at 1:30 Pacific, or actually it'd be 1 Pacific, on Tuesdays. And that's where the Twit photo was. We're moving that out.
And that's where we were originally.
It's the original spot. It's more of a primetime spot. And by doing it at 2 p.m., we can really produce it. It won't just be me sitting here. I think we're going to move it out into the studio space.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh. Man, that garbage can's getting deeper.
But it will be the same sign.
Oh, we'll still have the sign.
I want to do stuff like, I want to have a duck come down from the ceiling and stuff. I want to do fun stuff. I'll make it kind of wacky. It's really? Our it's our funniest show. It's our entertainment show.
Wacky.
Hmm.
That's a new concept for me.
Wacky. How would you do that?
Wicky wacky.
All right, Leo, Carbonite's your last library.
Now he barely fits into my pickup truck. Yeah, but he's doing all right. And it's a great Dane, stands 6 foot five. Feel his cold wet nose when I close my eyes. It's a great Dane in the neighborhood. Why can't every dog be just this good?
Where did our Great Dane go? We had a Great Dane in here. What was her name? Pinky? Pink? Queenie?
Peanut.
Peanut. Thank you.
So close.
Ryan, who I won't say who he works for, but the initials are 20th Century Fox Television, and he came in here with his giant dog.
Ooh.
But you know what? She was a sweet Peanut was a sweetie. Very sweet dog. Of course, Ozzy, you know, Peanut's 140 pounds. She's a 9-month-old Great Dane.
Oh, wow.
You know, remember Marmaduke in the cartoon? She looks like Marmaduke. And then my dog is a teacup, you know, 7 pounds. And of course, it was Ozzy that started to pick the fight. He said, what are you doing in here? This is my place. He's a 7-pound dog growling at a 140-pound dog. It's not smart, Ozzy. Not smart. That guy where you hear a voice in here, you know who that is. That's Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer and our gizwiz, the guy who comes up with those great gizmos and gadgets each and every week. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Leo, how you doing?
Very, very well.
Wow, good.
I'm feeling in fine fettle because, you know, the 4th of July is coming. Now, I know it's a big event here in New York City. What do they do? They still set off the fireworks over the Statue of Liberty, that whole thing?
Yeah. Let's see. It's either 5 or 7 barges, and it starts down at the Battery, and they have barges like every 20 blocks up to the Hudson.
Wow.
And the last barge is at opposite the Intrepid. So just from the marina, an incredible view.
Now, you are a boater, so I would imagine you take your boat out into the harbor and get that.
No.
No?
No. Only because about a few years ago, people were sort of running into each other and whatnot. So the Coast Guard started some new rules that went too much in the other direction. You have to be in an approved anchorage by 4 p.m., and you cannot leave the anchorage until after midnight.
Oh.
When all the other... So, yeah. And my boat doesn't have a head or a bathroom aboard. And I don't think.
No, not a good idea.
I don't want to sit there for 8 hours.
No. This is just like New Year's Eve in Times Square. They actually pen you in. You have to arrive early.
Yes.
They fence you in so you can't leave and you're stuck there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that takes
a while. So I said, a friend of mine has a boat, which is the furthest out on the marina. So it's closest to the Hudson. And he puts out food, and we just sit on the deck and ooh and ah.
But are they very distant?
No, they're exactly 1 mile away.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, what are you kidding?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we ooh and ah, even with no fireworks, it's because it's just fun. Ooh and ah.
We have fireworks, Petaluma, small town, you know, we're in Northern
California.
Oh, yeah,
how is that going? Did the Roman candle arrive in time?
Yeah, it's a short display, but we love it. It's very patriotic. It's funny, because people spend hours getting their blankets and their chairs. They set it all up. They set off the Roman candle, and they go home. It's not, you know, it's brief, but fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's more suburban, that thing. Get
actually,
to meet your friend.
Petaluma, I don't know why. I guess it's just tradition, but we allow safe and sane fireworks sales. So pretty much everybody puts on their own display.
Oh.
All the charities in town have booths where you buy fireworks.
Are you serious?
I know. This is so retro.
Yeah.
And so you can't use them outside of town. You can only use them in town.
Oh, that's what you're going to say. You can't use them outside the house.
Yeah, no. Only indoors.
Right. Yeah,
they're indoors.
I think they should amend that a little. I think that's part of the injury problem.
Well, Dick, I'm sure you have something very patriotic for your gadget today.
Well, you know what? You can project fireworks, your videos of your fireworks,
yes,
anywhere you go,
yes,
with the Brookstone HDMI pocket projector.
Ooh.
And in honor of 4th of July, it'll be available starting July 1st, which is tomorrow. This little guy is really neat. It's a little bit bigger than a pack of cards. It has built-in battery, also runs on AC, about 2 hours of life with the battery, projecting 1080p.
Wow. This thing's about the size of a deck of cards?
Oh, just a tiny bit bigger,
uh-huh,
a little bit wider, 85 lumen LED.
That's neat. And it connects to your phone.
Yes. It connects to Android, iOS device, actually just about anything that has an HDMI output.
Wow.
60-inch display. Now, I saw it at a mid-year CES kind of thing, and they were only projecting from about 3 feet away, but they had all the exhibition lights on, so it was not darkened room in any way. And it was a very bright, very sharp picture, and I think a reasonable price. It's $299.99. And it's from Brookstone. So if you're like a traveling salesman or something, you could actually put on a show with this little guy and your smartphone. Two little built-in speakers.
It has speakers?
It has two little 1-watt speakers in it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very well thought out. 16:9 aspect ratio.
It's DLP. Again, 85 lumens isn't super bright, so you either have to make the room dark. You probably are not going to want to go more than a few feet away from the screen. But,
absolutely.
That's what you
need
to know.
And also, they did something else clever. It's a 3,500 milliamp battery. They even put a little battery charger on it. So if you're running the show from your smartphone, and you can actually keep your smartphone charged from the same battery.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. HDMI.
Go ahead.
Pocket projector from Brookstone. And you want to look for the HDMI only because Brookstone has a whole series of projectors out. But this is their first and newest HDMI pocket projector.
Dick DiBartolo is at gizwiz.biz. That's not where he lives. It's just his website. G-I-Z-W.
No, I live there too.
Oh. It's a little crowded in there with all the gadgets.
I took a room at Squarespace.
Actually, they've got a very nice building just down the road a piece. Gizwiz.biz, that's the website. And when you go there, you'll see notes about all the products he talks about, and not only on this show, but on ABC's World News Now. And, of course, his podcast, the weekly, daily Gizwiz, which will...
Yeah, and today's the last day to play
What the
Game
Is
Ending. The What the Heck Is It?
That's right. So this is the last day of the month. So... visit gizwiz.biz, click the What the Heck Is It link. Now, you're going to see a gadget up close. We don't know what it is, but you can make up something. 12 autographed copies of Mad for the right answer, 24 for the wrong answer. The judges' decisions are final.
Yeah.
And
easily influenced.
That's the judge. And you'll be getting the July-August issue of Mad Magazine autographed by this guy right here, Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer. Dickie D, stick around. We'll do the weekly Daily Gizwiz right after the show.
I'll be here.
All righty. Brian, I think our last call of the day from Florida. Hi, Brian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Brian. Talk to me, Brian. Hello? He says, I'm looking at the call screener says, I've downloaded every Flash player for Android and I can't get any to work. You know, if you are on Android and you need to be, I'm not sure what the latest version, I think if you're on Gingerbread or better, Adobe makes a Flash player for Android. Just go to the play.google.com and search for Adobe Flash Player. They're not going to make it anymore, so get it quick. They've said they're going to discontinue it soon. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv.
And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.